And what I want to do is I want to say the Lord's Prayer. So I would like you guys to say the Lord's Prayer with me, all right? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. All right, you can be seated. Releasing this generation to bring heaven on earth. I don't know how you picked your songs this morning, Mac, but it's like you were reading my mail. So I know that the Holy Spirit's up to something here. And I love it when I see stuff like this happen because it's confirmation, okay? I know we're on the right track. I want to talk to you today about our mission statement. I want to talk to you today about changing culture, okay? Releasing this generation to bring heaven on earth. What does that mean to you? Have you thought about it? Have you really given it some thought? Like, it's a catchy phrase, has good sound to it, you know? Releasing this generation to bring heaven on earth. Yeah, we can walk around and we can talk about this. That's our mission statement. But have we really thought about it? Have we thought about what it means to bring heaven down to earth? This is important. We need to be thinking about these things. What does it look like to bring heaven down to earth? What does it feel like? What does it taste like? Just wait for it. I'll be talking about that in a little bit. Do you think that heaven has the same culture as here down as here on earth? Well, I would say that we probably would lack a little bit more heaven's culture here on earth, for sure. I can say that. Do you know what changes culture? Passion. You want to change a culture around you? You need to be passionate. Because I'll tell you right now, it's passion that changes culture. You have to be passionate about something. I'm not saying that if you're not passionate about it, you can't change culture at all, because you probably could change it to a point, but I'll tell you, it's passion that people will see. It's passion that people will notice. And when you're passionate about something, people take note. They watch. Passion is contagious. When a person is passionate about something, they become contagious. And other people want to know what they're passionate about. Why are they passionate? What is it that's creating this thing that's bubbling up inside of them? There's something about passion that makes us feel alive. Children are passionate. When you see children, when they play, they're passionate about when they play. When they're building things, they're passionate. When they're tearing things apart, they're passionate. When I was a kid, I couldn't get a toy within the next day or so it was apart, because I would always want to see how this toy worked. You know, that's the kind of mind I had. So I never could put them together quite as well as I took them apart, though. That was the one thing. But that's what it's like when we're children. When we're children, we want to get out there. We want to explore. We want to look at life and see what's going on. We go into the woods and we build forts and we do all that kind of stuff. It's like, you know, to a child, the world is our oyster. You know, we just want to get out there and live. And they're passionate about things. And it's good to be passionate about things. God gave us passion for a reason, because he knows what passion does to us. In January 19th this year, I spoke about a recipe for victory. And I told you a story about a veal shank. Do you remember that, Karen? Karen always remembers that. She tells me about that. She loved that message. I told that message with passion. Why did I tell it with passion? Because I'm passionate about food. I love food. It's just I love to make food. I love to work with food. I love how food works. I love how you can marry food together and you can blend things together and you make new tastes and new flavors and all of that stuff. I love doing that. It's a passion of mine. So when I talk about food, I get very passionate. All right. When I have people over for dinner, I love to do nice, extravagant dinners. Why? Because I'm passionate about it. I'm not showing off. I'm just showing you my gift. I'm gifted in that area. So I love to bless people with my gifting. Amen? All right. Yeah, I know. I'd love to invite you all over today, but I can't. It's Rob Ford told me I can't. So Marissa has a passion for evangelism. Mac has a passion for music. Aaron has a passion for the truth. Jim has a passion for flying. I have another passion for coffee. I love coffee. I love getting up in the morning and having a cup of coffee. I look forward to that. I go to bed at night sometimes, and I think, oh, gosh, I can't wait to wake up in the morning so I can have a cup of coffee. I know. I'm getting prayer for that. What are you passionate about? What is it that God has installed in you that you're passionate about, that gets your mojo going? It just makes you become alive. We all have it. We all have something that we're passionate about, that we love to do, that just gets us excited. And that's a good thing because God gave you that. And it doesn't have to be super spiritual either. But I'll tell you, you can use it for spiritual things. Okay? Everything, I love the way the Hebrew mindset is, because the Hebrew mindset, they don't differentiate between what is worldly and what is spiritual. It's all spiritual, everything, because they see God in everything. And we need to see God in everything. So if you're passionate about something, God gave it to you for a reason, and He wants to use it to bring heaven on earth. How He does that in you and through you is going to be something that is personal between you and God. But you need to ask the Lord, what is it? What is it that makes me, what is it that I'm passionate about? What is it that you gave me? What is that gift? And how do you want me to use it? Some of us have forgotten what we're passionate about. Sometimes we get to a stage in life where, I don't know, we're tired. Or we've lost our mojo. You know, we just haven't got the kick that we used to have when we were younger. And that passion that we used to have in certain areas has kind of been put in the back closet or on the shelf. Sometimes we're just discouraged. Sometimes things happen, life happens, and we get discouraged where we're at, and then we've kind of lose that passion that the Lord has given us. It's not gone. It's just buried. It's just that we've just kind of lost touch with it. I don't know what it is, if that's happened to you, but you do, and God knows. But He wants to bring it back. He wants to use it. He wants that passion to be ignited inside of you so that you can move forward in those kingdom things that He has already designed for you. And He wants you to use it to help to bless others, like my cooking. I hope my cooking blesses others. I'll tell you, as long as you have breath in your lungs, God will use you. He will use you, okay? I don't care how young you are. I don't care how old you are. God is going to use you. You are not done in the kingdom of heaven until you have breathed your last breath. Amen? Amen? Romans 12, verse 11. It says, "Do not let your zeal subside. Keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord." What is zeal? Zeal is another word for passion. It can be described as passion. You can be passionate about something in a way that you really like it, and you can be passionate about something that you don't like. It's an emotion. It's something that God gives us to stir us up. Activists are passionate about what they don't like. That's why they've been activated. But they're passionate about it. Paul is telling us in this scripture to guard our passion, to guard it, to cultivate it, to share it, and to not let it die. But we have a part to play in this. We have a choice. We can ignite that passion, and we can cultivate it, or we can let it die. How good is a dead passion or a dead gifting in the kingdom of God? It's not much good. God isn't going to be able to use that. But if he ignites that passion and he gets us going, I'm telling you, look out, because things are going to start to happen. Let's go back to Romans 12:10. In Romans 12:10, it says, the scripture just before it, says, "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Outdo yourselves in honoring one another." When I read this scripture, right away, I saw, okay, this is a command. This is what Paul is saying. He's saying, be devoted. He didn't say, pray about it, and if you feel like being devoted, be devoted. If you hear the Lord telling you to be devoted. No, he was saying, be devoted. Be devoted in what? In brotherly love. He was saying, outdo yourselves in honoring one another. How do you outdo somebody in honoring one another? Scripture says that if we give, God will give back. Okay? So we need to hang on to that principle. That's a kingdom principle. If we give, God will give back. And usually when God gives back, he gives back more than what we gave. Especially if we give out of our heart and we give out for the right reasons. Okay? We want to be a culture, a people who want to honor one another and give to one another. And that giving isn't just money or material things. Giving can be of our time. Our time is probably one of our most precious resources, folks, to give of our time. We're all struggling for time these days. We're all trying to figure out how we're going to do this and how we're going to do that. I don't have the time. But Danny Silk says we have to learn how to say no before we can say yes. So we need to, what he's saying there is we need to prioritize. We need to look at it, what it is that we're doing, and we need to ask ourselves a question. Is this important? Is this important? Is this important? What is more important? I'm not telling you what is and what isn't. That's between you and God. But our time is a very precious resource. How much time do we give to God? Because I know one thing, if we're lacking in time, the one thing we want to look at is how much time are we giving to him? Because if God is the God who gives us more back, then I want to be giving him some time. Because I know if I give him time, he's going to give me time. And he'll do that by helping me to know how to best spend my time. Okay, we all have the same amount of time. We all have 24 hours in a day. It's how we use it. But we want to be honoring in brotherly love to one another. We want to be giving to one another. And that means I need to know you, and I need to have a relationship with you, and I need to know where you need to be met. If I'm going to honor you and I'm going to bless you in brotherly love, then I'm going to take time to get to know you. And I'm going to take time to understand what it is that you need. And I'm going to meet you where you need to be met. I'm not saying that we have to do this with everybody, but I'll tell you, you need to listen to what God is telling you and who he has put in your circle of life. Because it's those people in your circle of life that God is going to tell you to do what it is that he wants you to do. Do you follow me? And it's there where we need to be obedient. We're never going to be able to get everybody. We're never going to be able to touch the lives of everybody that we know, but we're going to be able to touch the ones who God gives us specific instruction to go and touch. Amen? Okay. So Romans 12:10 is telling us what to do. But how do we do it? Now let's look at Romans 12 and 12:12. You're doing good, Mercy. Be joyful. Well, there's another verb. Be. Be what? Be joyful. Okay? In hope, patient, in affliction. Did you get that? It didn't say be joyful only when things are going well. It says be joyful in hope, patient, and in affliction. All right? So he's saying be joyful at all times. Persistent in prayer. And then it says share with the saints who are in need and practice hospitality. Is it saying maybe if you feel like it, you can practice hospitality? Just if you feel like it, search your feelings, okay? And if you feel like you might want to be a little bit hospitable, then you can do it. That's not what it's saying. It's saying practice hospitality. Why is it so important that Paul would say practice hospitality? Because that's where relationship is birthed. Relationship is birthed when we are hospitable, when we welcome people into our homes, when we spend time with one another, when we're in relationship with them. That is what happens when we practice hospitality. That's why hospitality is so important. And you know what? I get it. Not everybody has the proper surroundings of the home to invite people in, okay? But that doesn't mean we can't reach out, all right? We need to be reaching out to one another in one way or another, okay? And it says in there, it says share with the saints who are in need. And as I read that, I thought, wow, that's a good scripture. And the Lord said to me, yeah, he said, that is a good scripture. I want you to give some money away on Sunday. I said, what? What? He said, yeah, I want you to give some money away on Sunday. I said, well, to who? He says, you know who. And I said, well, okay, all right, okay, I can do that. I can give that person $20. And the Lord said, no, that's not enough. I said, what? I said, well, how much? He said, well, more. I said, okay, well, how much more? I'll give him $40. No, that's not enough, he said. I said, Lord. I said, well, how much do you want me to give him? He said, you want me to give him $50? He said, yeah. He said, I want you to give him $50. I said, oh, okay, Lord, if that's what you want me to do. So I'm going to give $50 away. And I bet you're all wondering who I'm going to give that $50 to. Well, I'll tell you. Marissa, there's $50. Now, I want you to understand something. I'm not doing this to show off. I don't normally go around just giving $50 to people, okay? But I felt the Lord was telling me strongly to do this. Why was he telling me to do it? Because he wants to leave an impression. He wants us to understand. And I'm not saying that we all have to go around giving each other money either. That's not the point. If that's what you're thinking, you missed the point, all right? The point is we need to be listening to what the Holy Spirit is telling us, and when he tells us, be obedient. Amen? Okay. Okay, just reading little notes from the congregation here. So, all right. Yes. Yes. All of these sanitizer containers are new, okay? So I would recommend that everybody prime it, okay? Because they haven't been primed, all right? I can't do everything for you, okay? I put them on the table, all right?
I can share a similar story. When I worked at London Life, at lunchtime, I'm right downtown, so I'm going to the market, I'm running around downtown at lunch. I don't want, just to get away from the computer and outside. There's homeless people everywhere, needy people everywhere. There was this one gentleman, and he was sitting on the side of the bank, and I don't know, maybe 60. He was homeless, and he had a piece, like a pad of paper, and he was practicing his letters. He was learning how to write, how to read and write. He was doing G, G, G. The Lord put it on my heart to take him for lunch. Like, the Swiss Chalet was downtown at that time. And I hesitated, and I didn't do it. And he sort of disappeared. I don't know what happened to him. I don't know if he passed away or what happened to him. But to this day, I regret my not being obedient to the leading of the Lord to take that man out and buy him a lunch. So it's not the fact that you're giving money. It's the obedience of following the leading of the Spirit.
Yeah, thanks, Deb. You see, this is it, guys. Yes, give her a hand. This is what it is, folks. This is how we change culture, all right? It's by our obedience. It's our obedience. We need to be listening to the word of God in our heart and in our quiet time when we hear his voice, okay? And you know what? I'm not talking about hearing our flesh, because we need to be able to discern what is our flesh and what is the Lord, and we need to be in tune with what God is saying. I can tell you one thing: if it's not easy, if it makes you have to step out, it's probably the Lord. If it isn't easy, all right. If it's really easy, and it flows with what you're going to get and what's going to happen to you, I wouldn't say that that's, it might be the Lord. I'm not going to say it is or it isn't. But I'm going to challenge you. Really pray about this and think about it hard before you say, thus saith the Lord. That's a whole other sermon that I'm working on for later. All right? But that's something we're going to talk about a little bit more as we move forward. But that's how you change culture. Changing culture is by being obedient to the Lord, listening to what he says, when he says it, and acting on it. And there's, Debbie, I've done the same thing. I've not listened to the Lord, and then I regretted it later. I really did. Because you know what? I missed out on a blessing. I could have blessed somebody else. I could have blessed their lives. And then, you know what? In turn, it would have blessed me. It blessed me to give you $50. Marissa, because I know you're a single woman. I know that you're it's hard for you to you're living on your own. It's hard. Okay? So it says, meet the saints where the saints need to be met. And right away, the Lord put mercy on my heart. And he said, give her some money. Okay? I was obedient. I'm happy. I feel blessed because I was able to bless her. And this is what changes culture. It's by changing mindsets. It's by reading and understanding the Word of God and putting it in place, putting it in practice in our lives. That's what changes mindsets. We have to stop thinking ungodly thoughts and replace them with kingdom thinking. Get rid of the stinking thinking and start to replace it with kingdom thinking. And when we start to think kingdom, all of a sudden, you can't help it, folks. The kingdom of heaven starts to come down to earth, and it starts to permeate everywhere you go and everybody that you see and everybody you talk to, because Jesus is inside of you and he's busting out of you, and that's what he wants. Kingdom things is not us. We are not capable of doing kingdom things in the flesh. We can't. It's through him. It's through Jesus. It's through Jesus that lives in us that kingdom comes out. So if you're trying real hard to do kingdom, stop, because it's never going to come out of you. You have to be Jesus-minded before you're going to be kingdom-minded. Amen? Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Here's the next part of the verse. It says, then. What does that mean? Then, after you have been transformed by the renewing of your mind, you will be able to discern what is good and pleasing and the perfect will of God. So what do we need to do first? We need to transform our minds through the Word of God. Don't you know, church, that we can walk in the newness of life? Our lives can be totally changed, totally different. Romans 6:4 says, we therefore were buried with him through the baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may be in newness of life. There's a partnership that goes on here that we need to tap into. Ephesians 4:22-24 says, to put off your former way of life, in other words, don't follow the flesh, follow the Spirit, and your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. And what is it that flows through us in the flesh? Sin. It's alive and active in us. Why? Because we haven't received our glorified bodies yet. We still live in this mortal body. So we need something that's going to counteract. We need the antidote to this body that is full of sin. And that antidote is Jesus Christ. Amen? 23, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and boldness. I love that scripture. I love being bold. Do you? The answer is yes. You should say yes. I would love to be bold. That's how we change culture, church. That's how we do it. One mindset at a time. That's my passion. That is my vision. Because I know that if we do this, if we grab a hold of this, everything else will fall into place. When we start to renew our mind, we start to change our mindsets, we start to change culture. And when we start to change culture, we turn heads because people start to look at us. Because why? We're different. We're supposed to be different. We're not of this world. We are of another world. We are of the kingdom of heaven. Now what we need to do is act like it and bring heaven down to earth. Amen? Amen. Somebody say amen. I mean, this is good. Okay. When we allow Jesus to express his very life through us, we can't help but bring heaven onto earth. We're not going to be able to help it. I'm not talking about a head knowledge of who Jesus is either. I'm talking about a life-changing, a mind-altering, a passion-filled, and a conscious decision for us to move forward into who Jesus is and how he lives in our lives, to release him. It's at the cross that he laid down the key, and he's saying to us, are you going to pick it up? Are you going to use it? He has the key for every one of us because he is the key. He is our passion. What passion has Jesus put in your heart? What's bubbling up inside of you that wants out? God's looking for a passionate people who are willing to step out and willing to learn. When I see a person who is passionate about something, then I see a person that I want to see in a ministry. I want to see a person who is passionate before I see a person with talent. Because I would pick a person who is passionate about a certain thing over a person who's passionate about a certain thing and willing to be taught and could be worked with over a person who is more talented but unwilling to work with you because they think they know it all. Give me the person with passion. The difference between a person with passion and a person with talent is that the talented person is the person that doesn't have the passion for it. They just don't have that. It's the submission that God requires for us to move forward. You can be very talented and yet not really serving the kingdom of God. And that's sad because it's through relationship that we need to get this. We need to understand how this works. I love to see people grow in their giftings. I love to walk alongside people who are willing to grow and receive. I love to promote and multiply because multiplication equals expansion. And expansion equals more kingdom. And more kingdom equals heaven on earth. So what passion has Jesus put in your heart? What is brewing inside of you? What's bubbling up? How is Jesus going to use you to change culture in your life, in the church, and in this community? As long as you have breath in your lungs, God can use you. What are you willing to sacrifice to bring heaven here on earth? Your time, your resources, your heart? Some of you are thinking, well, maybe I could give up a little bit of time. Some of you are thinking, well, maybe I can give up a little bit of resources. And some of you are thinking, what does he mean by give up my heart? Well, you'll have to ask God about that one. And some of you are thinking, you know what? I'll give him all of it. I'll give him it all because he gave it to me when he died on the cross. So I'm giving it all back to him. Doesn't matter where you're at right now, as long as you're willing, he'll meet you where you need to be met. We need to get to a place, church, where we're willing to submit to the process of kingdom principles, to change this thing that we call culture in our lives. And the only thing that's going to help us to get there is surrender. We need to surrender to the process of what God is doing. And sometimes the middle of the process that we're in is not comfortable. Okay? It hurts. But I'll tell you, be patient, because God is doing something in you. And the more it hurts, the more God is doing. Okay? Why don't you all stand, please? Father, we thank you, Lord, that we are such a privileged people. Lord, Father, we surrender to you. We surrender to the process of what it is that you're doing. And all of us, Lord, are in different spots. We're in different places. But Lord, I ask that you touch the hearts of each and every person here, each and every person listening online. Father, I ask that what you do is that you meet them where they need to be met. Father, that you just speak to them, Father. Minister to their hearts. Minister to where they're at, Lord, that they would hear you and know you, Father, and sense your presence. And Father, I ask, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to hear your voice. And to know that it's you. Give us the ability, Father, to know the difference between when our flesh is speaking and when you're speaking. Father, I pray that you would bless each individual here, Lord, with the ability to hear your voice in a way that they've never heard it before. Bring us to a place of quiet peace and rest in our spirits, Lord, that we would quiet our spirits down and just hear what it is that you have to say. And Lord, when we hear your voice, help us, Lord, to be obedient and to act out when it is and what it is that you're asking us to do. And Lord, we thank you for everything you're doing in our lives. And we thank you, Father, that we can trust in you and trust in what you're doing and trust in the process, even when it hurts. Even when our flesh is screaming out and saying, I don't like this. Make this stop. Father, give us the ability to say, it's okay, Lord. Continue with the process, and I surrender to you. I allow you to do what it is that you're doing because I know, Lord, you love me and you have a plan for my life and you're bringing me and meeting me where I need to be met and you're teaching me. If you feel that you need prayer, I'd ask that you put your mask on, come up, and I would pray for you, or the elders would pray for you. I think it's important that we get this, folks, because there's a lot of things going on in this world right now, and we need to take it seriously, and we need to be listening to what God is saying. We're privileged right now to be able to be here at church. We don't know how long that's going to last. We don't know when things are going to turn around. We don't know when we're going to be back in our homes again. We just don't know. But you know what? I do know one thing is that we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared for change. And we need to be prepared to move forward. And if we're not surrendered to him, then that process is going to be very difficult. And what the enemy wants to do is he wants to quiet the church. He wants to keep us silent. He wants to shut us down. But I'm telling you this, the church will not shut down. The church will survive and the church will move on. And the church will find different ways to do it because that's what God wants us to do. This is why it's so important for us to be concentrating on our home churches and getting things together so that we're being obedient to what God is saying. So if God is speaking to your heart and he's asking you to be obedient in that area, then talk to me later. Let me know. Because we want to start developing this. We want to start getting a strategy together. Because if we don't, I'll tell you right now, the enemy's already got a strategy. All right? But we need to partner with God because he's got one too. And his plan is better than the enemy's. Amen? So we need to move forward in this. So I'm encouraging you all. Let's get connected. Let's get relational. All right? Let's surrender to this process together. And we can walk alongside one another. And we can help each other through this. And we can get better. Okay? Because there is a better way. It's his way. Amen? Amen.